Probably should have been closer to this. Are you gonna write up something?
This is gonna be transcribed in full, so if you want, you can get it transcribed.
I'd love that. Yeah, just for kicks, I'm not good. I like that. But what was your goal here, is to actually do some oral history that's either written or?
Both the tapes and the transcribed version are gonna go in the archives.
Oh, just in the archives, then. But is someone gonna do anything with them, or? That remains to be seen.
I think this is sort of an initial step.
Yeah, okay.
Can you talk for a few minutes about your, the sort of activities in Rogers Park, the Farwell Area Neighbors, and the Rogers Park Community Council?
How do you know this?
It's in research. How did that fit into your experience at Mundelein? Was it separate, or?
Well, it was, again, I think, I keep talking about the human experience. I think all these things are related. For me, for example, here's someone who's always interested in history and politics. And I'm even able to teach it. The city in crisis is politics. I am now living in the Rogers Park neighborhood on a full-time basis once I came there in the summer of '69, and I was there. And I was a professor and an activist, and I always see myself, at least from, I guess, graduate school days, as an activist. So yeah, I think it fit. It fit with my view of the world and my view of education and activism. So yeah, I just gradually got more and more involved. I had, pretty much as soon as I got to Rogers Park, I got politically involved with what you might call the anti-machine progressive forces. And that led to a lot of meeting of people in the neighborhood, and the Farwell Area Neighbors was just another one of those steps, because I happened to live there, about people needing to organize locally to get more for their neighborhood. So doing that, and then most of the organizing was with what you might call, again, the progressive political movement. And again, in Mundelein, the culture was good to me, because in 1974, I was campaign manager for a good friend of mine as he ran for alderman, and so I did that, and I think I had a limited schedule because of that. So it's interesting, because the fall of 1974, I was both campaign manager for this, plus it was the beginning of the weekend college, come to think of it, so it was a completely crazy time. So again, I think it all fits well, and I think to the extent that people either liked my teaching or respected it, the ones who probably appreciated it more were students who also saw a value in activism beyond the classroom, that you did a little bit of what you preached about and stuff, and so that probably was an attractive quality.
From the student's perspective?
Yeah, you know, and just in the same way that, you know, if your science prof is in the process of doing all these neat experiments, you find intriguing, that's valuable. So that was just a progression, gradually more and more involved on the political front, and until I just decided I'd become the candidate. And once I did that, I just had to make the decision about that I would be a full-time alderman, which means I couldn't keep up my full-time job at Mundelein. So I had to give up tenure, which is, I had to fight very hard for tenure, so it was not an easy decision, but what it had to be.
Let's talk about the campus just for a second. What are your recollections about the actual physical space, the building itself, the skyscraper building?
Well, I have more identity with what we call the LURC, it's not the library, because that's where my office was for so many years. But, I think most of when I think of the skyscraper, I think of, some classrooms, not particularly attractive rooms and stuff, but good experiences, warm environment. I think of the cafeteria, the larger cafeteria, the faculty cafeteria. And there were tense times. That's been fun. One of the best times for me was that a bunch of my buddies and I would rent Mundelein's gym, play basketball. And I met some wonderful people that way, and then until my knees got too bad, we did that for a long time. But I think a lot of, like I say, of the library, because I have my office there so long down there in the basement, one of the little teeny weeny carols, whatever we called them. And I think of Piper Hall for some of the parties, and even way back during the early times. And, playing drums with a group in the basement of the Piper Hall. Mm-hmm. Very embarrassing.
Do you have any thoughts on the affiliation of Mimbler?
I don't feel like I know much because I've been gone. I think that in some ways it's too bad just because they're Mundelein. Part of the stuff that I'm talking about which made Mundelein special was the closeness. Was the commitment for this relatively number of faculty to this number of students, and work. And I think some of that's probably lost. I assume it is, and not to blame Loyola, just that's what happens, you know, the bigger you get. I think I'm certainly glad Loyola kept on the vast majority of faculty. But it's just, you know, I think when you lose certain identities, there's nothing wrong with the big universities, but there's something valuable in that smallness and the commitment to educating women. I've fought on both sides of that for a long time. There was always an issue that it should be exclusively women or not or whatever. But by and large, I think it was a very good experience for women. I don't think it was a particularly sheltering experience, as some of us might have thought at one time or another. So I think it's probably lost some of that. And I don't know if it has the experimental quality, although that's lesser anyway around the globe, so to speak. But I don't feel like I know much. I just know I wish they kept better track of alumni, and I wish I got invited to more of the events. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not in very good touch now, and someone says, gee, why didn't you come to the class of 71 or whatever? And I said, well, I didn't even know about it. But other than that, education's still going on, but I'm not close enough to have a clue. There's still good faculty I know that are both traditional Loyola profs and former Mundelein. Mm-hmm. So.
It sounds like you really had a good experience at Mundelein. Do you ever miss it?
Well, not a lot in terms of missing it. I had a very good experience, and I think toward the mid to late 70s, I was feeling like this is really good, but I need something more than just maybe the full-time teaching. Probably the best thing for me is that I should be doing more part-time teaching. I don't think I've done a class since I taught a class at Columbia College 10 years or 11 years ago now. I'll do guest lectures or whatever, and I'll talk with students here and there, but I don't think I miss it too much as a profession. I think ideal for me would be some sort of balancing of what I'm doing in the political arena with some sort, if I could arrange it, some sort of point where the university, where I wasn't just an adjunct faculty that they could pay nothing and teach one class, but something where you were a part of the faculty in a limited fashion, and maybe you did a class here and there, maybe you did some independent studies or tutorials, or in other words, something where my experience now, when you might say the political world, could be more useful. And I always felt the academic world was valuable because it forces you to think through where you are. It forces you to learn. In order to teach, you have to learn. So I think it would be good to have some of that. I miss some of these, some of the great experiences that I've had. I really did have a good time. I was very lucky to have that kind of environment for someone of, so whatever it was, around 24 or something like that, to step into that. It was, in some ways, kind of an ideal situation for me. Because I was interested in all these educational experiments, as well as history and politics. And so, yes, it served me well.
Is there anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's probably fine. Mm-hmm.